It's a battle of epic proportions. A showdown for the ages. No, it's not UFC or mixed martial arts fought out in the octagon. It's not WWE with drop kicks and clotheslines. No, this is an epic battle between God and Satan. And Satan isn't ashamed to attack while God is beaten down. In one corner, we have the father of lies, Satan himself, the leader of the demons, the lord of the flies. He has made it his goal to try and bring Jesus down, destroy him, cause him to fail at being the savior of the world, and consequently, drag each and every person in humanity into hell with him. His resume already includes deceiving Adam and Eve by twisting God's word, convincing them it would be a good idea to disobey God and eat the fruit. In the other corner, we have Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, and the life, the very Son of God. He's never told a lie, nor committed any sin. He's made it his goal to save the entire world, conquer death, overcome the evil dragon for all time. He's just begun his public ministry, but he's proven himself faithful for somewhere near 30 years, faithful to his heavenly Father. And so in our text for today, we hear about this battle of epic proportions, the temptation of Jesus. While Jesus is weak, he's tired, he's hungry, he's been wandering the desert for 40 days. He can't handle it. He wants some food. He hasn't eaten anything. And so what does the devil do when Jesus is in one of his weakest states? He comes with his temptation. The devil himself, he attacks Jesus. Blows are exchanged, only Satan doesn't use his fists, nor does Jesus. They use their words. And words sometimes hurt more than fists do. But what does Jesus do? He wins. We already know the story. In fact, we just heard it read in our gospel reading for today. Jesus overcomes the temptations of Satan. Jesus fights him off. Later, when Satan tempts Jesus at a more opportune time, who wins? Jesus does. When Jesus dies on the cross, who wins? Jesus does. Every single time Satan comes to tempt Jesus, Jesus still wins. But it's a fight for the ages. Now, since we already know the story, since we just heard it, since we know that Jesus will win, all we can really do is analyze the fight. Analyze what has just happened. And so we see in this temptation of Jesus in the wilderness that he is tempted in three distinct ways. First, Jesus is tempted to use his divine power to turn a stone into bread. Jesus is hungry, remember, it's been 40 days since his last meal. He tempts Jesus to use this divine power that is within him for something that is not really in line with what God's will is. It has nothing to do with God's mission for salvation, for Jesus to turn a stone into bread. For him to do so would be a misuse of his divine power. And so what does Jesus do? He refers to the scriptures. He gives glory to God in heaven who has given him such divine power. He gives God all the glory. And so, Satan tempts you in the same way. He tempts you to use your God-given talents and abilities, your resources for things that are not in line with God's mission. We squander our talents and our abilities for ourselves. We fail to offer our talents and our services for the church. We fail to offer them for our neighbor. We fail to do what we should do. We'd rather serve ourselves than the betterment of God's kingdom. Instead, what do? We use our eyes, our ears, all of our members, our reason, and all of our senses to sin against God, using them purely for selfish gain. Second, Jesus was tempted to gain world dominion, to be a prominent figurehead on this earth. But in order to receive it, he has to bow to Satan, serve Satan instead of serving God. Just one time, maybe even in private, just bow the knee to the prince of darkness. But what does Jesus do? He resists the temptation, for he has not come to be an earthly king. He has come to be the savior of the world. And so again, he quotes scripture to confirm his allegiance to God rather than to Satan. He refuses to use his divine authority, to abuse his divine authority. And so, Satan tempts you in the same way. It's no secret that we can lie and cheat and steal to gain more for ourselves in this life. In fact, it's really easy. And it's much harder to actually take the road where you have to work hard, where you have to earn things honestly. But we scheme. We try to gain more wealth or more advantage for ourselves, even if it's just a little bit at a time. We politic, right, to gain more honor for ourselves. We break one another down. We smear mud on somebody else's reputation because then it makes ours look sparkly and clean. And then there's number three. Jesus was tempted to test God, seeking help for selfish reasons. We've all done this one before too, right? Satan even uses this scripture, which is the scariest part of this temptation. Psalm 91, he uses scripture to try and convince Jesus that he needs to test God. God, if you really exist, if I am really your son, watch me throw myself from the temple and you better rescue me. God, if you really exist, we really would like you to heal those we love. If you really exist, we would like you to help us pass over this hardship. We put the Lord to the test. But what did Satan do to try and convince Jesus to do this? He had to take a piece of scripture and rip it from its context, maybe leaving out a conjunction here or an article there, and he twists it. Because the Bible never says we should test God. But Jesus, who knows the entirety of the scriptures, in its truth, in its purity, he can use the very same word of God to fight against these false truths. But we're dealing with a word that buys it hook, line, and sinker. We've already heard about Adam and Eve in this sermon, right? Twisting God's word to deceive them to eat the fruit of the tree. But think about the world we live in now, even in 2016. Denominations upon denominations upon denominations. Satan has so twisted and tricked people into believing false things about God's word. False teachings. He is so crafty. He is so good at being the father of lies that he has deceived thousands, maybe even millions of Christians to believe something that's not true. If you don't believe me, you could do a quick Google search. Look at all these memes and other things on the internet. What do? They take a piece of scripture out and they make it say what they want it to say, rather than making it say what God had intended. But what does Jesus give us? He gives us the entirety of scripture in its truth and purity, in its pure context, that it might deliver to us forgiveness and life. The importance of knowing our Bible. It's why you have little devotion sheets in your mailbox every week. And so that you can be in the Word of God daily, that you can know it as a whole and not just in little tiny fragments here and there and picking and choosing what you want to believe and what you don't. And so it's very important. It's very important for us to be in our Bibles, to know false teaching when we hear it, to have God's Word as a mighty sword with which we can fight off Satan's attacks. In fact, it's just like we sang in A Mighty Fortress, right? What can fell him? One little word. One word can conquer Satan, and that word is Jesus. Because that is what the scriptures are all about. They're about Jesus. Now, in Luke chapter 4, we hear all about this temptation, and this is where things get a little tricky. Because the temptation of Jesus is less about you following Jesus' example. It is important for us to know the scriptures. It is important for us to fight against Satan's temptations for us. But this verse, and in fact this whole pericope, isn't about you following Jesus' example. It's about what Jesus does for you. He's not fighting against Satan for himself. He's already God. He already knows he can win. He's fighting against Satan on your behalf. And what does Jesus do? He wins. He wins the battle over Satan. And Jesus not only overcomes Satan's temptations in the desert, but what is this more opportune time that Satan is waiting for? Well, we hear about it. Satan, again, employing the use of Peter's tongue, says, "Jesus, far be it from you that you should suffer and die." To which Jesus replies, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance." Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is under such agony and torment that he's sweating great drops of blood, Jesus still overcomes Satan. When Satan goes and occupies Judas, and Judas comes up to his Savior and gives him a kiss, betraying him into the hands of men, Judas, one of his closest friends, and Jesus is seized, and he's beaten, and he's mocked, but Jesus still overcomes. Even as Satan uses the soldiers who crucified him, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." But what does Jesus do? He overcomes the temptation to stop the whole thing. He overcomes the temptation to call down those 12 legions of angels and show them who truly is the boss. What does he do? He controls his divine power and he overcomes Satan by that very same torture device, by that very same piece of wood. Jesus wins. And he wins for you. Because you know what? Just as Jesus was tempted over and over and over again, Jesus knew that you would be tempted. That you are tempted every single day of your life. Tempted to sin. But Jesus wants you to receive the fruits of his cross. He wants you to receive the forgiveness that he won for you. And so he overcomes Satan for you. He knew that he had to be strong where you would be weak. He knew that he had to overcome Satan because we could not. And so he does. Rest assured that Jesus has overcome every sin, every temptation for you. He has paid the price for them with his blood so that you could be forgiven. And so you are. Now, Jesus would not use his divine power to turn stones into bread. Jesus would not use his divine power to gain any sort of earthly authority. Jesus would not go so far as to throw himself on the ground to prove to himself that God actually cared for him. But you know what Jesus does use his divine power for? He uses his divine power to come to you today. Not from stones into bread, but from bread into body. From wine into blood, that you might receive Jesus today. That you might receive his strength. Because in the days and weeks ahead, Satan will tempt you. But instead of tempting you in your weakest state, he will have to tempt somebody who has been filled with Jesus' body and blood. And that, my friends, is a fight Satan will never win. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.